2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
It's just about time for the Jazz to tip off. We're moments away. This is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, and of course we're across the street from Vivint here at Broadcast House, KSL Broadcast House.
Are they doing the jerseys with the, you know, the gradient color? Is that like the full? They used to mix it up like every game. I don't know
I don't know. I can't.
Just telling you. They tell you what jerseys they do before the games. And when I was looking at the tickets, I think they're doing all of the. As Rudy accepts the his third Defensive Player of the Year award at center court from Ryan Smith and Coach Quinn Snyder.
That's pretty cool. Ryan Smith and Quinn are both very average height individuals, and so he.
They're both like 6'2" or 6'3". Yeah.
But no, still,
he's a foot taller than both those guys. Yeah. So everybody over there with their orange, yellow, and red shirts in the arena. And excited about game two. Boy, they're pumped up. And having 18,000 fans makes a difference. And we're excited about this one tipping off on ESPN. And we'll keep you updated. And you can, of course, we'll get you that push when this game ends as to how things are going to go. We were talking about the college football playoff and the possibility of it going to a 12-team playoff, which is where the committee has said they are going to talk more and at length about actually moving to a 12-team playoff system. You pointed out that Kirk Herbstreit from ESPN said, hey, this is long overdue, and it's a great move. It's a money move. If anybody's being – I mean, the reality is this is a massive money move for college football. It's absolutely a massive move to be able to make that money. And they should, because they're going to make more money, and they're going to have to pay the players pretty soon because of the name, image, likeness legislation you're going to see pushed through as well in the next few years. So guess what? This is a win for everybody, including you and I as observers of the game. And to go to a 12-team system with six champions from conferences or the G5, and then six at-large bids, what would that look like last year? Who would have made it into the college football 12-team playoff last year, Scott, based off of those qualifications here?
So you'd have Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma.
Which is where you were with the college football playoff.
It was Notre Dame.
Oh, Notre Dame was in. Yes.
And Oklahoma was out.
So. And everybody knew Notre Dame shouldn't have been in there, so that's good they corrected that.
But Notre Dame would have made
absolutely should have, yes.
Texas A&M, Florida, Cincinnati, Georgia.
Did A&M and Florida play each other in a bowl, too? That was like a good bowl game, wasn't
yes.
it? Yeah. Okay.
Florida, Cincinnati.
Got it.
Who may have made some waves in
that.
They played Georgia very tough.
And they're going to be tough now, yes. Next season as well. So,
And then Iowa State, Indiana, and Coastal Carolina. So BYU beats Coastal Carolina.
They're in the college football playoffs. That was the big killer for them. And they ended up having an amazing bowl game against Central Florida and Zach Wilson had an amazing game, and it put him to 11-1 on the season. But and Coastal Carolina, I think, lost to Liberty in their bowl game. But I think that in the end, you see that, I mean, if you list off those teams that you are going to see in any given tournament, let's talk about the college basketball tournament, right, March Madness, you're going to get some random teams, and you hope for random teams. That's what we want.
That's what makes it exciting.
And when I say random, I mean just like the non-traditional. Indiana, but, oh, Iowa State.
Yeah.
We don't see those teams in this, and you know what? You don't normally go, oh, man, but think about what that does for those fan bases. And for places to be able to go, we're in that 12-team playoff, and to have one or two of those teams sneak an upset, right, in that first round. So what would the first round look like? All four of those other teams get a bye, don't they?
The first four teams get a bye, and then it's kind of seeded, you know, 5-12 and 6-11 and 7-8. Or 7-10 and kind of, you know, how just a bracketing.
Sure.
But here so in 2019.
So then going back even further?
It's kind of interesting.
If you want to, like, really feel good about yourself, be like, dude, BYU, well, in 2002, they probably would have been in, man.
Part of it, though, is a team like UCF where they just said, we're national champ. Remember when they claimed they put on the license plate, all this stuff?
Yeah, they put it on billboards
what
in Florida.
What this does is it says, okay, we're going to find out. We're going to find out if you really are a contender or you really are a pretender. And I think there's going to come a time. There are going to be years when one of these teams, I think, surprises folks. I really do. I think there's enough talent around and there's an opportunity for these teams to play. Anyway, so 2019, so the year before COVID, LSU, which had that phenomenal year, Joe Burrow was amazing, Ohio State, Clemson, and Oklahoma, right? So then you had Georgia.
Okay, and that was one that you thought, okay, they
Georgia,
they're
was,
on that, they're on that cusp, yeah. Anyway, yeah.
And Oregon, who won the Pac-12. But Oregon doesn't get in as a champion because they're – They don't get the bye as a champion because they were like the 25th ranked team in the country. Now, had Utah actually beat Oregon in the Pac-12 championship, they would have been one of those teams. However, Utah still ended up in the playoffs under the program, and they would be the 11 seed. So you would actually have two Pac-12 teams in.
Who would they play
in the playoffs?
Who would they play?
And here's the crazy part: they would play Oregon.
After they would have just lost to
the lost to Oregon, and they would actually
see. Now that's when
again.
You have to go. Look, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. That's garbage. We're not going to have them play
part
each other
of,
again.
That's part of why the whole ranking system kind of makes it a little bit, you know, challenging. I would prefer to say automatic bids for every conference champion, and then have the at large, and the Power Five and. I just like that better. I just want to take it out of the hands of people speculating. I don't like the speculation.
So then how does the ranking go? The problem is that the rankings are all subjective.
Highest ranked group of five champion automatic bid.
But see, there's no group of five champion. It's just highest ranked, right? Group of five teams.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it's the highest ranked.
Other teams just after that.
Well, yes, other teams, but there's an automatic bid for the Power Five conference.
Yeah,
so they're going to be in the mix somewhere. So this Oregon's a really good example. They were the Pac-12 champion, but they were 25 in the country, so they got in because they were the conference
Power Five, but they're the conference champion.
Conference champion, yeah.
Boy, the Pac-12 representing big time that year in 2019.
So you look at it and you go, you know, it'd be better if we had a higher ranked team lose. That way we get two teams into the college football playoffs.
Yeah.
That's going to be the debate going forward. Well, yeah, Utah now, they can't get two teams in the playoffs. You watch.
Okay, my question is this, and everybody who's listening who's from the South would ask the same question. Hey, man, how can my SEC get three teams in? How can we get three teams into the college football playoff, man?
Every year. In 2018, you have Alabama. There's one.
Okay.
Georgia's two.
Got it.
Florida's three. LSU is
did
four.
They have four? They would have had four.
Okay.
How can I get five or six of my teams from the SEC in this thing, man?
LSU one. Not Clemson. Georgia two. Florida three. They only had three in 19. And in 20, Alabama one. Texas A&M two. Florida three.
Okay,
Georgia
so
four.
It.
So they're going to have 3 to 4 teams a year from the SEC get in.
Would BYU and still have won the national championship in 1984? That's what BYU fans need. No, I'm just kidding. Go back to 1984. Who made the college football fake playoff back then? No, come on. The thing is that this is still imperfect. The reality is that if you go back to even other, if you go to the FCS level, right, where they have a playoff, they still have to rank teams. They have to seed teams arbitrarily. They have to figure it out and go, who is it? Where exactly are we seeing the difference here? You know, on these teams, and the difference is actually a lot bigger between those teams. I mean, than you would think. You'd have a lot of teams that are like, hey. Yeah, Weber State's really good, but some of these East Coast teams in the FCS might be a lot stronger, even though they're ranked a lot lower. So, did you just see Rudy Gobert's mom? Is it the game?
Yes.
Did they fly her out from France? Oh, my heavens. Corinne Gobert. Is that the game, Scott?
You're like a
Rudy's mom is there. Yeah.
You're like a hound dog just saw a squirrel.
Well, listen, this is made
in the middle of this like rather intense conversation about
but listen, Rudy's mom's at the game. Rudy's mom,
and it was in a high pitched voice. Rudy's mom.
I just imagine like when the guy makes an announcement over the PA and someone translates it for into her ear. He said 2 minutes left.
Yeah. She goes, where is the soccer goal? I do not
understand. Okay, my guy.
No, Rudy was a boxer, by the way.
He was. Yeah. My guy, that reach is going to get you. My guy, Boyd Matheson, our guy, Inside Sources host on KSL News Radio.
Yes.
He texted me. I know it's a shocker. He texted me during this thing. Because it's a Jazz playoff game, so he's going to text. He texted me and said, hey, man, decent start because the Jazz went up 10-2 quick.
Right.
They were up 10-2 on Tuesday. And I mentioned that. I said, hey, they're up 10-2 on Tuesday. He goes, oh, so you're saying it's going to be 0-20 from here on out in this quarter? I said, no. And Donovan Mitchell made that so. It's 12-4 in favor of the Jazz right now. The Clippers not shooting exceptionally well. And the Jazz are playing, Scott, dare I say it, furious energetic defense right now, forcing some turnovers, getting hands in the lane. This is a good way to get this thing started. Hey, when we come back, we'll have a score update early on in this game too, as Donovan Mitchell has already hit 2 threes, has already got 8 points in this game as well. So we're going to take that break. We'll come back after news, traffic, and weather. We'll give you that score update, like I said, as Zubats just dunks over Rudy and gets the foul. I'm also going to roll out an NFL roundup for you. Just because that's part of our gig, man. We got to do it. NFL roundup. Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.